Blog Talk Radio.
Don't hear the music. Desiree, you there?
I am. I'm here.
Okay. Well, for some reason, the music didn't play, but that's okay because we're online here. So I'd like to say good afternoon and welcome to Yield to the King Ministry. My name is Naja E. Brown, and I'll be your host for today. And today our podcast is entitled, Let's Stop the New Year's Resolution Game Playing. And we have a special guest with us today, and her name is Desiree M. Wilkins. And so with that, I'd like to say welcome, Desiree. Welcome to Yield
Thank
to the King
so
Ministry.
Much.
And I'm going to put you,
so
on the spot. Oh, you're so welcome. I'm going to put you on the spot and ask that you tell us a little bit about yourself and how it is that you accepted this invitation to be our guest for today's podcast.
Absolutely. I just recently finished my master's at Seattle U, a master's in transformational leadership with an emphasis in pastoral and relationship therapy. So I've kind of devoted my life to service and service in how we are in relationship with each other and how we're in relationship and living out kingdom building. So that's kind of my passion.
Well, perfect, perfect. And, yes, I know that you are a student of all students, if I can remember correctly. So it is certainly a privilege to have you with us today, and you and I are going to talk about the many, many New Year's resolutions that we have made that have gone maybe even by the wayside, and then we're going to give consideration to spiritual goal setting as an alternative, so a little different approach. And in the promotional material, I mentioned how many people oftentimes will go through this setting of goals, you know, look to the new year. We're at the end of the year 2015, and it's hard to believe that 2016 is just right around the corner. In fact, it's just 2 days away.
Right.
And
right.
many of us start thinking about what our life needs, what about our life needs to change. And then we start mulling over all these things that we need to do and then those things that we want to do. And then we put a list together, so on and so forth. But ultimately, we start setting our sights on starting at the top of the new year, and we call it a resolution. We make a firm decision to do or not to do something anymore, and then we resolve to accomplish whatever we've set as a goal. So I wonder how many of our listeners today have gotten caught up in that game playing. And where we start, stop, and only to start and stop again. So today, we're going to talk about those New Year's resolutions, and then we're going to consider an approach for what I would call the prize for the upward call of God, Christ Jesus. So have you started out the top of the year ever with New Year's resolutions?
Oh, my goodness. Every year I start with New Year's resolutions. And there have been some years when I've said, well, I'm not going to do that. But I have no alternative, you know, so I just choose not to participate in that. So and one of them is always going to the gym. And I'll go and up until about March. And it's so funny because the even at the gym, they'll say our busiest time is between January and March because people get started and then they fall off.
So have you ever set a goal or made a New Year's resolution and were able to keep it and actually follow through with what you had committed to doing?
No, I don't. I can honestly say I don't think so. And I think that's because it wasn't in the right spirit. You know, you make these New Year's resolutions because you feel like that's the thing to do. But there has to be some, in my opinion anyway, some intentionality behind these resolutions, these transformations that you're making in your life so that they can be be with, you know, sustain itself, you know, sustain some of the trauma that life brings to stuff, or the distractions. I like to call it white noise, you know. You need to have some type of realness, authenticity with what you're saying you're doing in your life, with this renewing of your mind, so to speak, so that it can sustain, you know.
I love that, because I too have a purpose to go to the gym and start that new diet, and I'm going to go to bed earlier, I'm going to drink more water. I mean, I've had list after list after list, and some of them have been a little bit successful and some of them haven't been, but like you said, it's got to be done and approached in the right spirit. So I'm a subscriber to Christianity.com. It's an online publication, which I love. And about 3 weeks ago, I received an article by Don Whitney, who has been an associate professor of biblical spirituality at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And this article is entitled 10 Questions to Ask at the Start of the New Year. And when I read it, I thought, how appropriate. And I'm going to read something that was a part of the article that was just profound to me. He stated, even those most faithful to God occasionally need to pause and think about the direction of their lives. So it's easy to bump from one busy week to another without ever stopping to ponder where we're going and where we should be going. The beginning of the year is an ideal time to stop, look up, and get our bearings. Isn't that profound?
It is. It is. But I it's also biblical. In the top of Romans 12, God says we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So this is it's a process. It doesn't have to happen January 1. That's why I love God so much, because it can happen every day. Every day the prayer should be, how can I renew myself? What can I, how can I not conform to the things of this world, but renew my mind so I can stay focused on the thing that God has called me to do? How can I stay aligned with his will? So it's great to make these resolutions, but I say let's not focus on the resolution, and let's focus on this renewal. How can I operate in the power of God and truly walk this thing out so that I can be a kingdom builder and not be distracted by the torments of just of life? You know, life can be hard on its own. You don't have to do nothing to life, and life can be tough on its own, you know. So we have to daily renew ourselves, renew our minds, so that we can stay strong for the thing that God has called us to do.
And we don't have to wait until the beginning of the year. You're
true,
so
don't.
Absolutely true. And so right, and you say that with such conviction that I imagine that you have you've lived life fully, and that you've been on a journey that probably is full of testimonies of the goodness of God.
Amen.
So this statement, though, going back to Don Whitney, this stop, look up, and get our bearings. I know that most of us are busy. I try not to be busy, but oftentimes I am busy. And I heard a pastor at one time tell me what busy, if you looked at it as an acronym as opposed to a word, what busy means. And it's in the back of my mind, and sometimes I don't like to say that I'm busy, but he said busy to him means being under Satan, under the yoke of Satan, Satan's yoke, I think it was, yes. And so, but we do bump from one busy week to another, and sometimes we don't give ourselves that reprieve and that time of replenishing and restoration. But I like the ideal time to stop, look up, and get our bearings can be any time of the year. It doesn't have to be at the beginning of the year. What I liked, though, is the looking up. Yes. So if we take a, if we think about all that we've been through, Desiree, and I know that you've mm-hmm. been through a lot and I've been through a lot, if mm-hmm. we think about all that we've been through, a lot of times if we get discouraged, I'm not saying that we always do, but if we get discouraged, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's because our sights are not set where they should be. Would you agree with
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the most profound part to me is the stop part. Right, because we get so caught up, and when they talk about Mary and Martha, Martha was cumbered about many things, you know. So we have all of these things that we think are important. We got to do this job, and we have to work 9 to 5. And when we work, we have to work this way. And then we have these routines that we get settled in, and we never just stop. And if
That's
we
right.
could just stop, we could find the strength to look up. You know, when I'm resting and I'm at peace. I like silence. I never in a zillion years thought I would be just like my mom. As a little girl, she always says, "Don't you just want to enjoy some silence?" You know, and that silence and that stopping actually puts me in the presence of God, because there's power in the silence of God. When He says nothing, He's powerful.
Yes.
So we have to stop. And then the look up part that you were mentioning that speaks to you. And then we realize the power and the strength that we're operating under. In Second Corinthians, Paul talks about the power of God. You might think I'm boasting about the power, but oh well, because this is what it is. I got
That's
power,
right.
and I'm not going to be scared to stand in it. If we could just stop and look up, we could just understand that, and then we could continue to just walk out what it is He called us to do.
That's so true. Just, yes, and you mentioned silence. I remember there was a time when silence bothered me, and I went to a mm-hmm. woman's retreat, and a lady who was facilitating this group exercise, we were all outdoors, so it was like September, so the weather was still nice here in Washington State. And we were seated in a circle, and she said, "I want you to just be still and just
mm-hmm.
not say anything, no conversation. Just let your mind flow and let your mind go." And my mind was all over the map. I was thinking about what mm-hmm. I needed to do that weekend, because I was gone from mm-hmm. Friday to Sunday, mm-hmm. and thinking my grocery shopping list. You know, yeah. I had a list of things, and the silence bothered me very much. Mm-hmm. But over time, I've come to appreciate silence and mm-hmm. consent in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I can hear from God. I can hear yeah. from Him through silence.
Mm-hmm.
I've cut out all the extra noise that bombards us on a daily basis. And then the looking up, you know, it brings the scripture mm-hmm. to mind, fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. When we don't have our sights set where they should be, we're mm-hmm. often looking at our circumstances, and that's where the discouragement mm-hmm. rests. And if we choose mm-hmm. to reside there, then it's going to be difficult for us to be able to walk this walk of faith, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So going back to Don Whitney and mm-hmm. what the statement that I just shared with you. So... Mm-hmm. If we've had a busy year, you and I have had a busy year, I'm going to ask mm-hmm. you, what are you going to do to pause and get your bearings for this upcoming year? So we've sort of established that neither of us is too interested, very interested in setting New Year's resolutions. So what are you going to do, Desiree? What could you share with our listeners that you were going to do to get your bearings for this upcoming year, mm-hmm. 2016?
Naga, I'm going to do exactly kind of like what you have on your page about Haggai. I'm going to stop and consider my life. That okay. scripture, Haggai 1:5, and other translations, I believe in like the Good News translation, it says, "Don't you see what is happening to you?" And because of the white noise and the distractions that I've had in my life, because there's things in life that I want. I'm human. I have desires that might not be aligned with God's will, and I get distracted because I'm so focused on fulfilling my flesh. Let's just uh-huh. call it what it is, uh-huh. that I lose sight of God's will. You know, and sometimes God's will ain't always easy. You know, he said he'll do things suddenly, but some things you got to get through prayer and fasting, and you have to fight
That's
for.
Right.
And for instance, with my job, I've been working as an organizer for 10 years. And just recently I came into a revelation that this is not what God called me to do. And it's not like I just woke up one day. I had to go through some things for that to be exposed to me. And I realized that the job was not actually a blessing. It was a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know for a fact that God has called me to greater things. He's already showed me that I have a big platform. So then why am I functioning? Do you see what I'm saying? Why am I functioning
yes.
beneath what he called me to do just so I can pay a bill?
Mm-hmm.
If God called me, I believe he will equip me. So if I believe that, I have to walk away from this thing and I have to walk away from it with excitement and joy for what I know God is going to do. And so even though it's scary, as I've shared with you, you know, before, it's scary for me, but it's exciting at the same time. There's still this element of hope and joy and promise. But in order to get to that point, I have to stop and consider my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I'm doing. I'm not going to force myself into any worldly ideas of resolution. I'm going to keep it biblical, keep my eyes focused on God through working on my relationship by prayer and fasting and fellowshipping with the saints and studying and really take heed to what I've done in my life and what is there still left for me to do so that I can have good relationships with the people that I love, right? So I can
Amen.
Serve and so I can help be a kingdom builder. But I have to stop and see what is happening to me. I have to assess the scene, right? I have to assess
yes.
the situation, make a plan, and then take action.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because it was probably 20 years ago that I decided to stop the insanity of the New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I began to pray, you know,
mm-hmm.
and ask the Lord to help me prioritize my life for each
yes.
year, for each day throughout the year, and to
throughout
seek him
year.
For what it is that he would have me to focus on for the new year
yes.
and to do. And the key or the difference is, it wasn't about my agenda. It wasn't about what I wanted
right.
to do, like you mentioned, in the flesh, those things that I felt I should be able to accomplish or those things that I deserved. I asked him first and sought his guidance before coming up
yes.
with my plans. Yeah,
yes.
so that's key. So I stopped that insanity. So we're going to take a
mm-hmm.
quick commercial break, and then we'll be right okay. back, okay?
Great.
Right. So that was the music that we should have heard in the beginning of our podcast. So, okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Mr. Whitney's article. And I want to give the listeners the website where I obtained that article, and it's Christianity.com. And or you can Google Don Whitney, Whitney, and all of his articles will come up, and then you can search for this particular article that we are talking about, and that is 10 questions to ask at the start of the new year. So also in this article, Mr. Whitney, not only did he present 10 questions to ask, but he also came up with 21 additional questions for us as the reader that would cause us to consider our ways, and it's called Consider Your Ways. So you mentioned that you have already gone through that process to consider your ways. What do you need to do differently? Mm-hmm. And he suggested answering a question each day for the month, so the 10 plus the
mm-hmm.
21 equals the 31 days. And I thought that that was a pretty nice little challenge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to, I'm going to put you on the spot again, Desiree.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to draft your own 31 questions, and I'm not going to ask you to share with us what 31 questions would be, but if you had an opportunity to share one or two of those questions, what would they be and how would you answer? So you sort of touched on that before we went on break. But what questions would you ask of yourself in relation to where are you going? Where does God want you to go? How is your life being prioritized? And then what would your answer be?
That's a good question. I think the first question that comes to mind, and it's funny that I'm asking myself this after a 10-year career in one industry, but I feel like in the last 10, since I've been an adult, no one has asked me this question again. And it's kind of odd because as children, we get asked this question all the time. And I guess as adults, we just think we're supposed to have just arrived, you know, but life is a journey. The question I would ask is, what do I want to be when I grow up? What do I want to be? So simple. But no one has asked me that question, I want to say, since I was in high school.
Wow. Do you know, I ask myself that all the time. It isn't over. It isn't. And I ask myself that all the time. And you have had a wonderful journey, and I've had a wonderful journey. A few years difference in our age, but I'm still asking myself that question, and I'm in my 60s. And each time I ask it, I know that God has given me something. He's put a calling on my life, and he's equipped me, but I'm still asking myself. And as long as I ask myself that question, I feel like I will never feel like I've arrived.
Yes.
That I've never accomplished everything that I'm supposed to do, because my course in life has changed and has gone in different directions. And so it sounds like you're asking yourself that question for this season of your life, and do you have an answer?
I don't. I don't have a solid answer. And I only say that because I want to leave the door open for God to do his thing. I don't want to put any boundaries. You know, I want to pray big. You know, I love organizational development. I love transformational leadership. And I believe that's the platform that God is going to give me to do great work. You know, so as far as career-wise, you know, I do believe God has called me to ministry and to serve and to serve and love his people. But as far as the specifics of it, I do vision boards throughout my life. I started them when I actually made the move to Seattle 5 years ago. And my first vision board I did, one of my girlfriends actually noticed it. She said, 3 years later, she said, Desiree, everything on your vision board has come to fruition. What are you going to do now? I made another vision board.
Okay.
You know? So we get one life. We get one shot at this. So I never want to be done. Like you, I want to be 70, 75, or not that you're 70, 75, but I want to be 70, 75, 80, still saying, what do I want to be when I grow up? You know, my mother is 65, and she graduated with her bachelor's at 60, and now she's going for her master's degree because it's not
wonderful.
Over.
Oh,
yes, there's still
wonderful.
Life to live. Absolutely.
Oh, how wonderful.
So it's a process to me.
Yes. Thank you for clearing up that I'm not in my 70s.
Right. I didn't mean to say that you were in your 70s.
Sometimes I wake up and I feel like I am, but I'm not. Oh, that's beautiful. Now, you mentioned Haggai, if I pronounce that correctly, verse 1 and 5, and that verse says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought your ways. And the people of God had become so careless in their relationship with him that the Lord had to rebuke them through this particular prophet. And what I hear you saying is that you don't want to be careless with your life. You want to be more mindful, and you want to be more purposeful. You want to live a purpose-driven life, and that will require deliberate choices and hearing from God, being silent so that he can speak to you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and I am right there with you, right there with you. So is there anything else that you'd like to share or any words of additional words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our audience, our listeners today?
I don't know. I think the thing that's just sitting in my spirit, just with this Christmas, was it was tough in the atmosphere in my circle for people to get through this holiday season with cheer. And I called my mom and I said, "Mom, every year you guys just make sure my sister and I had such a great Christmas. And I know life was happening to you. I know it because I'm living it out now. How did you do it?" And my mom said, "I just did it." And I said, "Mommy, I almost feel like you did me a disservice because you made it look so easy." You know,
yeah.
And she said, "Baby, it wasn't easy. We just did it." And that's what you have to do, is you have to take it one day at a time. Know why you do what you do. Adjust. Have your tantrum and move on. This walk is tough. This life is not easy.
So
we have to take it one day at a time. Stop, look up, reassess, evaluate, make a plan, and take action. And know that this too shall pass.
That's good.
Be encouraged is what I would say.
Yes. And then questioning ourselves, I'm not going to say you have to come up, or anyone has to come up with 31 questions to ask themselves every day of the month, but questioning ourselves will bring an issue or commitment into focus. And in the podcast promotional blurb that was posted, I indicated that praying and knowing that our priorities come from God makes all the difference in the world. And I think that's the difference from approaching changes at the beginning of the year, throughout the year, at the end of the year, whenever one is led to make changes, and it not be our own agenda, but God's agenda for our lives, makes all the difference in the world. And then I also shared that when we don't feel as though we're as successful as we would have liked to be, that there's no failure in God. All we have to do is just start over again, because we serve a God of love, and He has a purpose for our lives, and it will be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
Now, if anyone has listened to our Yield to the King podcast, I always like to present some scripture, and you've been doing that, and I love the fact that you've interspersed it throughout our podcast today, but I do want to mention 1 Timothy 1:5, and that says, "The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." So we've got to go about this journey with love, right? And with pure motives and a sincere faith and a good conscience. And then Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So it really isn't about what we're accomplishing here, although we are here. But we are really, really looking at what is it that we're doing to contribute not only to the kingdom building, but also life eternal. So it's just that comes to mind. So we're almost out of time, Desiree. I do have a few closing words. Do you have anything else you'd like to share?
No, I think just in closing for me, I think it's also essential to attach yourself to someone who can ask questions for you. I'm coming through a very difficult phase in my life, but I've attached myself to people who I can be vulnerable with, who can help me renew my spirit, renew my mind, and check in with myself. So don't be afraid to attach yourself to someone you trust and love who will uplift you, challenge you, and encourage you.
Oh, thank you for that. And so in closing, I'll ask all of us, not just Desiree and I, but also our listeners, do we desire a higher calling and what the Lord has for us, not just for each new year, but for the rest of our lives? And is that a challenge? I would have to say yes, it is, but we have to remain focused, asking Him to prioritize our lives and what it is that He wants us to accomplish for Him sets us on a path to a higher calling. And just remember that with Him, all things are possible. So I want to thank you. Thank you for joining our podcast today, Desiree. Thank you for being our special guest.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And for all of our listeners, we will hear, you will hear from Yield to the King in 2016. This is the last podcast for the year. With that, I'm going to say God bless you and have a good day.